Now, this is lesson number 8, Revelation Translation and Commentary, Volume 2. And we have been putting together some of these things on the horses and the seals, and we're on the sixth seal. That was what we started at the bottom of 71. Very last two lines of 71, the sixth seal runs from figurative into literal. But how do you decide which is which? We have noticed some of the difficulties if we attempt to make verses 12 to 14 literal. Further, verses 12 to 14 have much scripture support of figurative sense. Now in verses 15 to 17, we find a complete reversal. They make good sense literally, and I can find no figurative sense in scripture. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. You have to try to find out which way they're going, and this looks like the reverse here. Consider again, John is being shown essential things after the period of the church, or the mystery of the kingdom. After the mystery form of the kingdom is to be restored to Israel. This restoration of the kingdom to Israel is reflected, though maybe as much as through one half of the Old Testament. These cataclysmic events mark the period closing the present age and beginning the millennial age. Now, just as the Laodicean period of church history was coming up, maybe I shouldn't make them come one within the other. Maybe I ought to make them come alongside of each other on a diagram to be better. Because the Laodicean period is the present deteriorated church. But it would seem that from that after these things that really has been spewed out first before this really comes on. But that's a very difficult thing, and that would be only a matter of a personal opinion. So let's go further and watch the pictures and see how it goes. Consider some of the verbs which John uses by the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, they hid themselves. Past time in relation to John, which I believe helps convey the idea that John was seeing coming events. Verse 16, they are saying, not they said, as King James. Again showing that John was being shown the future events as happening. The expression, from the face of the one sitting on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, keeps these events tied to the present prophetic scene that John is witnessing. Finally, verse 17, the great day of his wrath came, not is come. John was seeing coming events as finished. There have been and still are literally dozens and dozens of varying explanations given to this very complex book. There are quite a few problems with the Greek text which seem to indicate some tampering. To me, most of the troubles seem to occur because of Gentile rejection of Israel and failure to keep in mind that this is a Jewish book. Now let's take a look. Take a look at page 73. Now, briefly, what I've tried to show, maybe not too satisfactorily, I never am happy when I deliver a lesson to you. I'm never happy with the lesson. The time I get through with it, I'm disgusted with the lesson. I always think, well, it ought to be able to have done that better. Something should be done plainer to make it more simple. And little by little, I try to find things. But the best we can do and put together, I have tried to show you that horse 1 and horse 3 affect Israel and go together. They're not related to the earth. Horses 2 and 4, which will be on the next page, are related to the earth. Now to me, pondering all of these things, not specifically any one, but all of them just feeling them. Remember I told you one time I asked this professor, how would I understand ace with reference to or into? That word can have both those meanings. And he said, you'll feel it. You'll feel it. Well, I've come to see that. I see how he means. All right. Now, I've got to have a feel for this. It's only as you've gone over it, I don't know how many times I've taught the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, 30, 40, I don't know. But you get to have a sort of feel of it. And that's why it's so silly when people say they've read a few chapters or something. You don't have the feel of it. Now, trying to get that feel of it, it looks to me like we have in front of us here a picture that it's absolutely irrefutable as far as prophetic events go. I cannot see how these horses, the way I put them together this time on these charts, trying to match scripture with scripture, I cannot see how historically they could have all happened at the same time. And yet what we have understood the horses to mean puts them all at the same time, which means that we have a tremendous historic event going on currently. Michael, the white horse rider, and I say Michael, based on Daniel 12, as I showed you there, that he would stand forth for his people in the end of the day. Based on the fact that this horse rider, Michael being the only one that stands as the chief prince in defense of Israel, there isn't any other one that takes this position. There's the angel Gabriel. Gabriel appeared to Zechariah, and that kind of a thing. But Michael seems to be the defense warrior. You see, he went to the aid when the king of Persia was in the way of the one trying to minister to Daniel. He was the one that went to the rescue. So it looks like this rider, and according to Maccabees, although he's not named, but according to Maccabees, this white horse rider shows up. Now, I can't vouch for the truth of the story that I've told you from Strike Zion. I wasn't there. And I've heard these stories, and they said that after the 67 war, that all Israel was filled with these stories. But how many times are you going to tell a story, true as it may be, if people are going to laugh at you and they aren't going to believe you? You don't bother to tell it anymore. And remember, I told a few of you, not many of you, I told you about Mose Eubanks, the fellow who poured our concrete floor, and how he just a few weeks ago, a few months ago, came back from down here in Haiti, where he's helping them build a hospital type of building. And he says, they don't believe me. They don't believe my stories. He said, but experience is proof. He said, I saw it happen. They didn't. And I don't care whether they believe me or not. And I told you how he told me, and I believe Mose, because Mose has never lied to me. And Mose told me, he said, I asked these people down there, you've got signs all over, in the buses and everywhere, Jesus saves, and all this kind of a thing. And he said, how is it that you have these signs all over, and you all practice voodoo? Well, they said, Jesus loves us. There goes your loves everybody again. Jesus loves us. And this is what they told him. And he wouldn't hurt us, so we don't have to pay any attention to him. But the devil, he doesn't love us, and he would hurt us. So we have to serve him. Now, that's where we're ending up, with this God loves everybody. And he said, the witch doctors there, and he said, I talked to this fella, and the witch doctors had raised him from the dead, and he'd been alive for some many years working for the witch doctor. And he said, just very recently, the witch doctor had raised a woman. He waited for them to bury her. They don't embalm. He waited for them to bury her, and then he went to the cemetery. Remember I told you the souls don't depart right away. He was able to raise this woman, and he had her working for him. And so they are able to raise the dead, and they are doing these things. But nobody wants to believe that some of this can go on. And I could tell you a number of stories. You remember Brother Andrew? I can tell you some of his stories. But these people get tired of telling you these. Now, I can't vouch for this story either, except that it's written in the book Strike Zion. And this fellow in Israel, in the tank command, tells the story of how he advanced into the Sinai Desert. And when they went down in that time in the Sinai Desert, when they went down in that period of history, back then they didn't have the equipment all that they've got now, the sophisticated equipment. But as he said, as he went in there with the small amount of equipment they had, he said a tank column came up on their right, and another big Egyptian tank column was closing on their left. And he said, as these tank columns closed in, he said, all of a sudden, there appeared out in front of his column a figure in white. And he said he raised his right arm, and the right column of tanks disintegrated. He raised his left arm, and they disintegrated. And he said, I did not disintegrate them with my forces. He said, I was not a match for them. Are they true? I don't know. I was not there. But they have these stories and these records. Another one said, when we went through the Mitla Pass, and the other one there, there's two passes there, when we went into those, they said they were narrow. We only could go four tanks wide. And we went into that pass four tanks wide. The Egyptian tanks were hidden all around in the hills, camouflaged. He said, we had no chance of shooting at them. None at all. We didn't know where they were. And he said, the Egyptian tanks would open fire first, always. But they never fired twice, because they were able to fire and knock them totally, the second shot, their first shot. And this is the way they went through there. And so they believe that God delivered them. And it's called the Short Miracle War. It's called that in the National Geographic. But you hear all of these stories played down because people aren't going to believe them. And I know they don't believe the Book of Maccabees. They don't believe that these horse riders appeared, and that one appeared in the temple with two other angels and drove them out. Because I know very well that they don't believe that the two angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they don't believe that Noah was in an ark. And they don't believe that God created the heavens and the earth. So you go right back to the beginning. And they're not going to believe it. So you can't know whether all these stories are true. But it seems to me that Michael is that one who has come on occasion before to the defense of Israel and put these things together and accept some of these things for a moment. Now you don't have to believe one word of it. Not one word. But I'm going to show you as I believe it and as I see it. Then let you come up with a better idea. All right? Now, this horse rider, when he says, you be going, or you be on your way, in our slang expression. Now, he went out having victory, and in order that he might have victory. And that's aorist. So I put in there final victory, total victory, point victory. That was the end of everything. It's aorist. He might have victory. Now, this is what Alfred pointed out, that there is no way this could refer to Antichrist, unless Antichrist is going to be the world victor. And he said, you can't use that expression, went out having victory that he might have final victory, unless it's going to be Christ. He said, I can't see any way around that. Now look, May 14th to 15th, 1948, the State of Israel came into existence. Isaiah 66:8. And Mike Kantz made this, that beautiful sign you see down there in the museum, all in gold leaf with this verse on it, Isaiah 66:8. You can go down and see it if you haven't. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a lamb be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And that happened May 14, 15, 1948. I know very few people accept that verse. That's proof of that. Very few. When I met Kalisky one day up at the American Board of Missions of the Jews, and I told him this, he said, you're not going to do that with that verse. And I said, oh, yes, I am. He said, wait a minute. He grabbed his Hebrew Bible. And remember, he was the head of the traffic department in Israel for a good number of years. And he flipped his book open, and his Bible open, and he looked at that. And he said, I'll be. He said, I'd even translate it, a land began in a day. And so there you are. So that's happened. That's past. People can look at it, pass it, forget it if you want. I won't. And that was fulfilled. Acts 1. Then they, when they were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what they're concerned about. The Jews have been miraculously preserved, and they are a miracle people. And the very existence of the Jew ought to make somebody pay attention that God's working a miracle. Otherwise, they would have long ago disappeared in the population. But God won't let them disappear in the population. All of you that are Gentiles here, if you were 20 years of age and we sent you, I've told this so many times, and it stops people cold. Because if you are 20 years old, some of you were sent to Africa and told you'll never return, you'll marry African boys and girls and disappear in the population. Send you to France, send you to Italy, send you to Japan, send you to Vietnam. Our boys did. You'll marry boys or girls in that country and disappear in that country, but not Jews. You send them to Africa, they'll marry Jews. You send them some other country, they'll marry Jews. Not 100%, but nearly so. And they stay, and they're persecuted, and they're tortured, imprisoned, and they're burned alive. And they still stay Jews. And they still go to the gas chambers saying the Shema. And they still keep this up. Why? Theodor Herzl said, we can either intermarry and disappear in the population, or we can go back to Israel. I say, let's go back to Israel. God won't let them disappear. And God said, as long as that zodiac is over your head, Israel will be here. And as long as Israel's here, you won't get rid of the zodiac. And the astronomers have tried getting rid of the zodiac, and they haven't had the least bit of success in centuries. Because there it is. And these two are tied together, and no wonder God, he that sitteth in the heavens, shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He's working his way whether they like it or not. And that's what thrills me, because we can see our God working out these things as he's promised in the prophecies. And so verse 7 says in Acts 1, he said unto them, it is not for you to know time or seasons which the Father has set within his own authority. All right, now, when did it start to return the kingdom to Israel? When could we look at a date as though this Michael had gone forth to ride to deliver the people of Israel? Well, you could take 1948, but that's a time when the state came into existence. That was pretty far along. So you could back up some more. And what dates do you find striking? 1917, the Balfour Declaration, the promise of Great Britain to give Israel a national homeland. 1917 is established beyond any question of doubt as one of the momentous documents of all history. All right, let's leave it at that for a minute, and then let's look at Psalm 60. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast broken us down. Thou hast been angry. O, restore us again. Thou hast made the land to tremble. Thou hast rent it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of staggering. Thou hast given a banner, or flag if you please, to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. And there you see the flag flying over your head, blue and white, the colors of the tribe of Judah. On it the Star of David, the Magen, not star, but shield. The shield of David is Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that flag flies with the colors of Judah, and with the shield on the center of it, flies after all these 1900 years. You can't get rid of the flag of Israel any more than you can get rid of the zodiac. God's bringing these things to pass, and he has given them a banner that is displayed because of the truth. I often told the people to look at it carefully. Can't you see the colors in it? Can't you see the white? Can't you see the white in the veil of the tabernacle? the righteousness, the purity of Jesus Christ? Can't you see the blue in it? Can't you see the blue in the veil? Well, of course, He's the Lord out of heaven. Can't you see the red in it? No, you can't see the red in it. That won't be in it. That was once. No more. Can you see the purple in it? I hope so. That star is the purple. King of kings and Lord of lords. That star is the purple. Jehovah, God of gods, is on the center of that flag. And half of Israel doesn't even know it. And He didn't give it to them for nothing. And there it is, flying over our heads. And there it is in some. To take another step. June 7, 1967. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And June the 7th, 1967, after continuous occupation of one Gentile nation after another for a long 1900 years, Israel took it again. And it was settled once for all. The seasons of the Gentiles to possess Jerusalem through that long siege was over. And that was filled on a specific date. I'm putting dates on these. I'm not afraid of these dates, not afraid of them at all. I defended these dates from college to college in this country, and there wasn't anybody refuted. All I ever got was a silly answer. We don't like to have you telling us we're making Jesus Christ a liar. Nobody refuted one word of it. Nobody's yet refuted one word of the tabernacle, of the Babylon book. Nobody. I sat down with professors. I sat down with his staff and the president of the one school. I said, just listen. You don't have to do anything. Just listen for a couple of hours and let me show you. I'm not asking you to say anything. Just listen. And for 2 hours, I explained to them. You know what answer I got when I was through? And this president of this school was very knowledgeable. I wasn't taking him off guard. Very knowledgeable, because he was just finishing his doctorate on Babylon. So that gives you an idea what he knew. And you know the answer I got. He said, I can't change my doctorate now, so God will have to stay wrong, and I'll go my way, but just too bad. So there you are. And that's the attitude. And that's the kind of an answer you get. Now, look at Matthew 24. And this gospel of the kingdom. Now, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to the Israeli? I maintain there's a vast difference between the gospel which we preach and the gospel of the kingdom. A lot don't agree with that, and it's your privilege, but the gospel which we preach is salvation through Jesus Christ. We preach the good news of salvation. We don't preach the good news of the kingdom. Oh, we're in the mystery kingdom in mystery form. I'm not disputing that, but that's not what we're preaching. What we're preaching is the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And he said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Now, almost as though the Lord knew full well and put this here as a warning to us, and it seems almost deliberate, for a witness unto all nations, the missionary effort has constantly looked at this verse and said, we've got to reach all over the world. But God, in His providence, put a verse in Scripture saying, the gospel has been preached to all the nations. So that was done way back when Paul was writing that gospel. As far as God's concerned, it was looked at as completed. But not this. But this isn't what we're preaching. So when in the world is the gospel of the kingdom? Well, the Jehovah's Witness at least saw the verse. So they picked it up and they decided they'd preach the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what Jehovah's Witnesses do. They preach the gospel of the kingdom. But that isn't all but mixed up, so that you can't tell much of what's right the way they're preaching it. They've got a lot of things that are right. But when could you say this was preached? I maintain that this was preached on May the 11th, 1949, to the entire world. May the 11th, 1949, this flag of the state of Israel went up a staff at the UN in New York City, For the first time in history, it flew among the nations of the world. And the gospel that God had restored the kingdom to the Israeli was done. Prove it otherwise. Go ahead. I don't care. Try it. You try and find a better date. And that happened. These are dates that are available in encyclopedias and in almanacs and anywhere you want to look. These are fixed dates of history. You can't throw them all out the window. They happened. That's why I say hindsight's so lovely. And I love it because they can't do a thing about it. And I would, you know, I got real cocky in the schools. And I got nasty because I had such a carnal nature. But I tell you, why shouldn't I? If you're not going to give God the glory when it's happened, where's God going to get any glory? If you're going to walk around saying, I don't know whether that could have happened yet or not. And so there they go. I don't believe that. I believe you either understand the scripture, make it plain, and proclaim it, or shut up. That's what it amounts to, because you're just adding to the confusion. And we've got enough of that. Okay. Now, those are fixed dates. So basing that, roughly, you could put the white horse rider, Michael, about 1917, even a little earlier if you wanted, 1898, when the Zionist organization got started. But there isn't any, really, is not as good a date there, and it didn't reach much of Israel. But 1917 was an earth-shaking event. That came out of World War I. Because in World War I, England was in trouble. The Germans had flamethrowers. And the Germans were using acetone, and the British needed acetone. And they didn't have any way to combat the Germans. And they were retreating. They were in bad way in 1917. And so in 1917, they enlisted a gentleman by the name of Chaim Weizmann, a noted chemist, and asked him to do something for him. And he, and it's a longer story, but he perfected this synthetic material for them, a synthetic acetone. He perfected this, and in the perfection of this, they offered him whatever he asked, because it turned the tide, and England was able, with the help of the other nations, to win the war. So they promised Chaim Weizmann whatever he asked. He asked for a home for his people. And that ended in the Balfour Declaration of 1917, November, which gave them the home. Now, one of the strangest things happened. The Lord Balfour in the Parliament was in the session as it happened, and Lord Balfour, when it was passed, came out to Chaim Weizmann, and he had written on an envelope, and he handed to Chaim Weizmann, and he said on the envelope, "It's a boy, a land born in the day. It's a boy." That's down in encyclopedias. It's a boy. And that's what happened. And so I have to go on the other side.